second scripture reading today is two stories from the first chapter of Mark. Listen for the word of the Lord in your life today. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. A leper came to Jesus, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, Jesus sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Happy New Year again, everyone. Gosh, 2020. It sounds so unreal to me, even as I've been writing it on forms and checks. I forget who it was, but I saw on Facebook just this week this unreal thing that I have to share with you, that they said the year 2050 is just as close to today as 1990. That might mean nothing to the kids, but that was like a mind-blowing thing to me. It just sounds so unreal, and yet time just keeps on moving forward, doesn't it? Here we are again at this fresh start for ourselves. But what also usually falls on the first Sunday of the year in our church is this holiday of Epiphany. It is the culmination of the Christmas season, but I think it's pretty understated. I don't think it gets the attention that it deserves, especially because Epiphany highlights our world's need for light, for a guiding star. We really do need that, don't we? It's not just children who want light and are a little bit afraid of the darkness. We all need a lamp to our stumbling feet and a light to our fumbling path. How many of us feel a bit in the dark today? Heads spinning after the holiday, trying so hard to get back into our routine, trying maybe even to meet the challenge of a resolution to be better in 2020. How many of us need light today? And where in our lives do we need it the most, I wonder? And today I want to connect light to healing. Two important themes for Jesus, light and healing. We come today in our narrative lectionary to months of focus on a gospel, a story about Jesus. And this year that gospel is Mark. Mark's is the sparest and the sparsest and the shortest on words. It's one of the gospels that has absolutely no Christmas story. You never hear Mark during Christmas, because he just skips right over Jesus' birth and childhood. He jumps right in. He's not trying to win the Pulitzer Prize or to read like a novel. Mark has an urgency about him in his gospel. And in fact, his was the first one to be written out of all the four, about 40 years after Jesus was killed. And you can think a little about why his gospel maybe sounds different when you think about the time he wrote it. He wrote it during a time where there was great unrest, great upheaval, more so every single day, maybe relating to today, just constant bad news we're hearing about out in the world. At his time, Mark's time, the Jewish people had been living under Roman occupation for so long, many years, until finally they'd had enough and they had revolted. And there was great violence on both sides, but it resulted in the Jewish people's beautiful sacred temple once again being destroyed, being brought down to the ground. And then there's this new group that Mark was writing to, these Christians. They were brand new, trying to figure out who they were and living under great threat and persecution. So you think about all those people Such unrest, such uncertainty. What would those people have needed to hear in order to keep going? In order to keep the faith and to live it out with courage in a really, really scary world? That is what Mark tries to give them. And I think it's no accident that you see story upon story in Mark about healing. You're going to see that's a major theme for him. How do we not just survive, but thrive in a world with real divisions, real threats, and real darkness? Where we pick up in Mark today, in just that part of chapter 1 that we missed, Jesus had already been baptized, already been tempted out in the wilderness, already gathered a band of followers and been building this momentum in his ministry. So you see, Mark wastes no words. One of the things that you'll see he shows Jesus always trying to do, Mark does, Jesus always is trying to teach. But Jesus' words and teachings are always getting interrupted by people who need help. And Jesus chooses to take action and help them. Over and over you see this. These actions of Jesus have a lot to teach us too. Jesus' life itself is a teaching. For Mark, who Jesus is, it's not just about death on the cross. It's actually about his whole life. What Jesus means is about his whole life, teaching us how to live. So let's look at these two stories, how Jesus acts with these real people. Because these healing stories, they're also epiphanies. They're aha moments about Jesus that shed light on what he's about, what he means. In both of the stories, you kind of see a similar theme of clean versus unclean. That first person had what's called unclean spirits. So what afflicts him is something that's living inside of him. What's making a mess of his life is something inside. And what is so fascinating to me is what those spirits yell out to Jesus. They say, "What do you have to do with us?" And you look at a guy like that, and I wonder how many of you can even relate to him. But when you really think about it, how many of us need healing for something that is on the inside? Things that people can't see just by looking at us on a Sunday morning or at work. They can't see them. That grief that won't let up. Or that depression that nags at us. Those mean, critical thoughts about ourselves inside. That anger that raises our blood pressure. All those things that people can't see. Whatever it is for you, I'm willing to bet that all of us have things that we keep hidden. And I'd also bet that we would honestly ask, like these spirits did, "Jesus, what do you have to do with us? What do you have to do with this thing that I've been keeping inside, keeping hidden? What can you do about it?" We'd rather go on, a lot of us, just dealing with whatever it is, than to take it out of the darkness and expose it to the light. Even if that light means healing, darkness kind of is our friend because it allows us to keep things hidden. The second person that Jesus is dealing with seems to have an outward affliction, something in his body, leprosy. You hear about that a lot in the Bible. But back then, leprosy was a disease that had implications way beyond just your body. A person who had it, any place that they went in public, they had to announce themselves by yelling out, "Unclean, unclean!" Can you imagine that? Any place they went. So that meant total isolation. No community. They were barred from participating in temple rituals. So compare that to our churches today. Just imagine if any of you just were not allowed to be here because of some condition that you had. And at any place else you went, people were disgusted by you or scared of you because of something that had happened to you. Just imagine that. That kind of an illness wears away at your insides too, not just your outsides, your insides too. But that man with leprosy, he was bold or desperate or both, and he approached Jesus. He approached Jesus with what I think is a prayer that many of us have prayed. He simply said to Jesus, "If you want to, you can make me clean. If you choose, you can make me clean." Do you all really believe that God would choose to help you, chooses your healing? This man believed that, and Jesus confirmed it, that he didn't want to judge him, he didn't want to give him advice, he didn't want to keep going about his business. Jesus wanted to heal him, and he did it. But I can't help but wonder, what do we make of that when we see the countless stories of people who pray and they're not healed? They're not healed like this man. Does that mean that Jesus does not want to heal them? For so, so many of us, we have loved ones, maybe even ourselves, but loved ones who are going through something so hard. And just like the man with unclean spirits, whatever that hard thing is, it's got a hold of them. We don't know how to free them from it. So we feel so helpless. And for those of us wrestling with healing in those kinds of situations, I want to tell you something important. I wrestle with those things too, about why we suffer with those things, but I truly believe in my heart, healing is not the same thing as cure. Healing is not the same thing as cure. There's a writer named Scott Cotter who writes a poem that better expresses what I'm thinking when I say this. He says, "The whole of me, the whole person, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, is in need of being healed, of being made whole. The curing of physical symptoms is but one part of this process. The absence of a cure need not hinder it. The words healing and salvation are close. They derive from the same Greek root. We experience, all of us, moments of salvation, the gift of grace and freedom, of being sprung from the trap, released from confinement and oppression." And the last thing he says is, "My own healing is bound up with that of others." Bound up with that of others. Jesus could have healed this leper by just stretching out his hand like a magician and going, "Yes, be healed." But he did it a different way. For this man who had just been shattered by loneliness for so long and isolation, Jesus chose to heal him by touching him. He didn't have to do that. He touched him. This would have been unheard of, scandalous. But a living, loving person like Jesus touching this man, I believe, was just as much what he was longing for as a cure. Just as important when you go through years like that of being isolated. And for us too, so many of the things that afflict us have taken their tolls, not just on our bodies, but on our persons, who we've become. They make us more fearful or more angry. They just chip away at our joy and hope, these things that we suffer through. And here's where we need to remember Jesus' larger mission, what he's really about. Jesus did not come to make us more comfortable or to take away all of our illnesses, not to make us all run marathons. He came to challenge all the powers of the world, all of them that make us less than what we're meant to be, inside and out. Not just about our health, our whole self. He came to break down the boundaries that we've built up so strong between each other, that make us miserable, that make us isolated. He came to do all that, and he wanted to do it in the most personal of ways. So he didn't just preach or lecture about it. He actually tore down those walls and challenged those powers face to face, hand to hand, one person at a time. He let these people interrupt him, one person at a time. And that is what we are called to follow. If we're disciples of a God like that, what would it look like for each one of us to do what Jesus did in our corners of the world? I think the first step in order to follow Jesus is that we might have to go to some of those dark places, inside and out, that we've been avoiding. Yet Brené Brown, who has the most watched TED Talk on the topic of vulnerability, Brené Brown says, only when we are brave enough to explore the darkness will we discover the infinite power of our light. That we've had light all along, right there with us. And here's where healing and light are connected for us. When we see our true healing inside and out, just connected so deep to everyone else's healing, then we're going to live more as those lights of the world that Jesus calls us to be. There's a guy named Christian Wiman who was an award-winning poet, and he was diagnosed with an extremely rare cancer. He was facing his own death at my age, and his illness wound up surprising him by reconnecting him with God. And he wrote a book called My Bright Abyss, and in that he says, "The temptation is to assume our pain is more singular than it is, that it's just for us. In truth, experience means nothing if it doesn't move beyond itself." So he was saying that whatever we go through is meant to help us and others, to help us and others to see more clearly, he said. It's 2020, friends, and I thank Mike Jarjura for this comparison, that when we can see perfectly clearly, we're told we have what? 2020 vision. Thank you. I love that. We have 2020 vision. What would it look like for all of us to have that kind of vision of what this world is about, what our life is about, what Jesus is about in this new year with this fresh start, and to help others with their way forward as well? What would it look like? Just like Jesus has been a light for us in this season, let us also be a light for each other and so be truly healed. Amen.